Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Fabelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
La ironía le va bien a la gente inteligente, pero la mala educación no la soporto en mi casa.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
How are you, Dr. Babelito?
Muy bien, señor. Aquí, just finishing the final details to turn everything in and be fucking free, man. How are you?
I am great. I am still in Miami, and that's why this podcast sounds like trash. Sorry, listeners. But, you know, I didn't bring the right kind of microphone, so, you know, it sounds like call your girlfriend this time. Sorry.
La sombra real.
Shade theory. So,
Hashtag Luis from Tamarindo.
Hey, oh my God.
I know. But listeners need to find comfort in the knowledge that I'm moving back to Vegas. So pretty much from now on to the next year, everything is going to be, you know, we're going to be facing each other like regular human beings. So I'm very excited for that.
In real life.
Así es.
Aleluya, amén.
¿Cómo has estado? ¿Qué has hecho? Platícame.
Oh my God, I'm having the time of my life.
I see all your Instagram stories. Oh. En la playa como Luis Miguel.
I'm like it's el niño good. De la mochila azul. Yeah. I'm in Miami. I'm at an artist residency, and I'm really happy that I'm here because of the people I'm meeting, the other artists that are in the house with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but enough about me. Excuse me. You presented your thesis, and you passed, right?
Oh my God, it was nerve-wracking, dude. So this is the format. You have 20 minutes to present basically 10 years of research. And then you have your committee in front of you, and then you have a whole audience. I mean, you can invite, it's open to the public. So I presented all my shit for 20 minutes, and then there was a session of questions. It lasted for 45 minutes, like question upon question upon question, and then they leave you out of the room. I came back, and they told me I passed, and they told me, they suggested to do some changes, and then I have to turn everything in a couple of weeks. So I'm just doing final revisions, but in paper, ya soy doctorcito Babelito, que le importa de la vida.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's so beautiful. Oh, my
Dude,
God.
Dude, and I publicly, because I couldn't call you, because I was very fucking emotional, and you and I don't do emotion. The messages you recorded made my life. I woke up the next day so overwhelmed because I have so much work to do still, you know?
Yeah.
And the first thing I did when I woke up, it was listening to the messages and listening especially to my parents. I didn't expect that. First of all, it destroyed me.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, I was like, fuck it. You know, like, no time to cry. Like, let's keep working. So I, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. You're the best fucking friend, and I love you, man. And that's all as personal as I'm going to get.
So well, we have it on tape, so so I'm going to, anytime I need to remind you, I'll know to flip back to this episode. I was like, bitch, remember when I need money? I'll just be like, listen to this. So, roll back the beautiful bean footage. So, I have to give a shout out to your sister Ocides, because she's the one that recorded your whole family. I think they were all over at, because it's Friday, you know, so everybody was over at your mom's house, and she recorded everybody. It was so sweet.
Oh my God! So I talked to my mother afterwards.
¿Y qué dijo?
And my mom was over. She's like, no sabía qué decir. Te quería decir tantas cosas y no te podía decir nada. She was all overwhelmed. And then they, first they practice and they prepare themselves. And my little sister couldn't say anything because she kept crying and crying.
Aww.
Finally, they were able to do it. ¿Y qué crees? It didn't record.
No.
So they had to do it over again. And everybody's like, okay, Bianca, cry again, cry again.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy.
Well, you know, it was a weird thing because your sister had recorded a voicemail and then sent it to me. But I was at a show and I had my, I was actually at, looking, oh my God, I can't even talk right now. This humidity is so fucking real here. Like, I don't want to be a big baby and complain about it, but it really is a lot. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, because you're sticky the whole time. Like, that's something that we're not used to. Oh, we're like dry all the time.
Okay. That night, I went to go see Joey Arias. Do you know who Joey Arias is?
Yes, bitch, I saw the video. Oh my God.
Iconic drag queen from New York City.
Oh,
Joey Arias is kind of this like gender fuck cabaret singer. He sounds like Billie Holiday. And oh my gosh. Her performance was incredible. It was so cool. And it was I knew when I was watching this performance that I was seeing a legend in person. So if you ever get a chance to see Joey Arias, Google it, loca, check it out, and go to a show near you. It was incredible.
Speaking of legendary performances, did you see Sasha's lip sync in the
finale? It's so emotional, baby. Yes. Oh.
Wait.
What?
That was a tribute for her for his mom. Like,
yeah.
It was so amazing. I was watching it with La Judy and I stood up and I'm like, yes, bitch, yes. I loved Shea Coulee and I couldn't even see her. That's how good Sasha was. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so cool. What,
our girl Sasha won. That's amazing. Amazing. I mean, I was rooting for everybody except for Trinity, but
she's mean. Yeah, I don't like her.
I don't know. There's just something about her face, but she's still really good. But it's just so cool that we did a panel discussion with Sasha, and hopefully, when she comes to Las Vegas, she will link up with us and do it again. That'd be so much fun.
Oh my God, that would be so cool. Even if we just get to see her.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't realize that, but we had not seen her lip sync for her life.
No.
That's why it was even more, you know, like, más cabrón, güey. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I know you have something prepared for us, right?
Well, so here at the house, there's two artists, Corey Newkirk and Ziwon Chung, when I got here the first week. And I wanted to go over what an artist residency is, because a lot of times people ask me and I never really have a straight answer because it's kind of complicated. So I recorded a conversation with the two artists that were here, and we were, you know, just like in Latinos Who Lunch, we were eating. So there's going to be a lot of eating sounds. But I don't know. I just wanted to kind of deconstruct it a little bit and get into it with them and just see what they thought and like why residencies were important for their careers as artists.
I do think that residencies are super important, and they actually, schools take it into consideration when you get hired. They see the like how many residencies you've taken, which one you've taken, in what countries, and sometimes it determines if you hire or not as a professor. So that's just one aspect of the creative process that takes place in a residency. So I'm excited to listen to this interview.
Yeah, me too. But before we do,
Can
I get a little transition music, please? This episode of Latinos Who Lunch is brought to you by Lindo Michoacan. That's right, the original Lindo Michoacan in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Babelito.
I can't wait. Yes, I can't wait to get back to home and eat some sopa de fideo y tostadas y tortas. Carnitas, everything.
Bitch. Let me tell you, like, Miami is amazing, okay? The Cuban food is on point. The Central American food here, oh my gosh. Like, I've been to so many great restaurants. Like, I went to a Salvadorian place. I went to a Nicaraguan restaurant that was on point. And today I went to a Peruvian restaurant. But the Mexican restaurants here, I am really, really missing the original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Girl, the withdrawals are real. I can't wait to get back home and eat some real Mexican food.
Oh my God, it's so real. And you know what else is real?
Yes.
We get a discount. That's right, Latinos Who Lunch listeners get a 25% discount if they mention that they are listeners to the show. That's right, 25% off.
And if you go on Sundays, you can get amazing menudo. Lindo Michoacán. Save water. Drink margaritas.
Hi, listeners, it's Favi Fav, and I'm here at the Fountainhead Artist Residency, aka The Sunken Place. And I'm here today with my fellow resident artist, Corey Newkirk. Say hi, Corey.
Hi.
And Ziwan Chung.
Hi.
And we're eating Japanese food. I'm eating rainbow roll. Corey's got some chicken over there.
Well, American Japanese.
American Japanese food, that's true.
Which I think we should say seems to be really odd to eat a lot, to be eating Asian food in Miami, since the residents here complain that they don't have a substantial Asian community and they are suffering
Yeah.
for a dearth of like food.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Asian restaurants here in Miami. So, yeah, we should mention the Fountainhead Residency is in Miami and
It's in Morningside Park.
Morningside Park, beautiful neighborhood.
If you like the suburbs.
And it's pretty cool. We're in a house right across the street from the people that run the residency. As you guys know, I'm from Las Vegas. Corey is from, or lives and works in Los Angeles. Ziwan
Sort of a nomad right
he's a
now.
nomad, but he's been in Pittsburgh for a while.
Yep, past
And
4 years.
let's talk about it. Let's talk about this residency that we're at. And a lot of times people ask me, what is a residency? What does it mean to be an artist in resident? And I always say that the experiences are different depending on the residency.
Right, each and every one seems to be different. This one seems really special in that.
Like, elaborate for me.
In that we are in a house, and the founders are right across the street, as you mentioned. But the house has been semi-converted into like studios, but not a lot.
It's mostly a live space.
Mostly a living. Yeah, it's mostly about living, and maybe a little bit about creating. So that's a little odd to me. It doesn't fit what I sometimes understand these are, but you know, you each and everybody comes differently. These are really good opportunities for me to just like have a vacation and strategize, maybe do a little reading as compared to actually making work, because I can do that at home in my studio. So this is, you know, another opportunity for something else.
I mean, this one seems almost like DIY, like. The house is nice, but I don't know anything that's going on with the residency. I think I didn't even know like the laundry machine, what I'm supposed to bring.
Me too.
I was just given a ticket and it's like, come here. And I was like, all right.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
So
I mean, but they're like, it's like just one woman running it, basically.
So it's kind of cool and it's kind of scary because this like the idea of a residency seems to have been so formalized. I'm gonna be all smarty pants now. Over the past few years, right? Like, there's a thing where you have to really apply and you go and you're expected to do these
Yeah.
things. And this is like, you're either nominated or you're tapped. And then they just sort of stick you in a house across the street so that, you know, in a way they
In
can
a
keep an
place
eye
with
on you.
no cars, no good public
Right.
transportation, you're just sort of stuck
Right.
here.
So it's very similar to some of those ones that are kind of in the countryside where you're just
Yeah.
like stuck in the woods, but now we're just stuck in the city.
In suburbia.
In kind of
Not even
suburbia.
in the woods, in
Right.
suburbia.
So let's go back and talk a little bit about the idea of a like what is a residency, because I know we've been part of many. So when I try to explain a residency, there's usually an application process. This is like probably the first or second time I've been curated or nominated for a
Me
residency,
too.
which is really nice because you don't have to go through the process of like applying and failing, applying and not getting picked, which
Right.
is
It means that
our
someone,
story
right, which
as
means that
artists.
someone's paying attention and you guys are, you know, we're doing something right
Yeah.
somewhere or something interesting, and that you know, the myth about the artist, no one paying attention. You know, we're stuck in our studios just doing our thing, or stuck somewhere thinking, and no one's thinking about us or paying any attention. And all of a sudden you get a phone call saying, we want you to go somewhere, and someone's been paying attention, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, every residency differs, right? Sometimes there's like you have to have a show at the end, or you have to do some sort of formal presentation.
I mean, they're each like a different organization, and depending on what the organization has, the resources, the networks that it has, the amount of money, it changes. And also, some are like a weekend, some are a week. Mm-hmm. So this one that we're all at is about a month.
You know, some are 6 months or
some
a year.
Some are 2 years.
Right?
There's like, I mean, I think usually the big ones are 2 years that they pay you, and you're basically in school again, but you don't have to take classes.
Yeah,
that sounds horrible.
you know about them, right?
Right, to go back to school again sounds horrible.
Oh, no, but you're not in class.
I want the ones that I have yet to apply to where they just give me a little house, and then they deliver all my meals to the door and leave me alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I think these are really good moments for me to bring out my inner hermit. As I've been hanging out in my bedroom here most of the time these last few weeks, because I don't really want to work here, but or I'm not feeling it necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be, you know, sometimes there are really nice opportunity to be spoiled in a way. Some of them.
Yeah. I think a lot of times for me, when I do residencies, it's kind of to do research about where you are and kind of get to know the city that you're in. But this is an interesting situation because you guys are my roommates. So, and we spend a lot of time together. We are spending a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And I think under normal circumstances, if we saw each other at an art gallery somewhere, we probably would never... I mean, I know I wouldn't probably... I usually don't go up to people and talk to them. So,
I meant Corey at another residence. He did not pay attention to me one bit.
That is so not true. It's because you came here with
he forgot my name.
With your highlights.
I said hi, and he's like, hello, I'm Corey. I was like, we met before,
no, it's
right?
True. It's true. Walked into the kitchen and then...
I even had drinks with him at the other residence and he forgot me.
But it's those highlights that threw me.
Oh, yeah. You have highlighted black hair. It's beautiful. The frosted tips, you're bringing back the in-sync look.
Right, or a sort of like, yeah, something. It threw me. And context. So I apologize for now on
here. I'm just making fun of you because I can.
I think that's what's important is like, you know,
yeah,
making friends with other artists and sharing experiences, because that's something that is really important to me, because without talking to other artists, it's hard to kind of navigate this art world, and there's so many like unspoken rules that you would never know unless you're hanging out with artists talking about things, especially here in Miami, right? We're meeting with curators, we're going to openings, and you know, Corey, you're going to dinners with collectors, and like, I don't know any of that shit. I mean, you guys have been around the block a little more than I have.
Just different blocks.
Different blocks.
Yeah, they're just different blocks.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of cool to get an insight on that and hear your experiences.
Well, the great thing I think also about all those residencies, and which is I think important to this podcast, is that most of the really good stuff happens over a meal too.
Mm-hmm.
Talking,
eating, either whether it's cooked for you or you got to cook it yourself, like here, but that's, you know, communication and talking and the whole idea of what a meal can do together with strangers, right, is kind of great.
In contrast to this idea of, like, artists, no one paying attention to them, I think the point of residency is also, like, to sort of get out of your head, basically, right, and, like, recuperate just all that alone time and, like, having a little bit of social time, then, like, you can always go back to being alone. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world doesn't care about you.
It really doesn't.
You can always just go back to your you know, into your headspace whenever you want.
Let's get into the meals we've had together, because today we were supposed to have Haitian food, but we're recording on a Sunday, so Z1 and I walked to
Chef Creole. Right?
Yeah, the place is called Chef Creole.
Right.
And halfway there, I was like, "Shit,
you better check."
We checked and it was closed. But then we found a Haitian market, which is awesome. because I wanted to recreate the sauce that they have at
the Pekleys.
The Pekleys, yeah, it's like a slaw. You, Corey,
like
you were
vinegar spicy slaw.
Yeah, exactly. Corey was describing it as almost like the curtido from pupusas, like
right.
from Salvadorian
so close.
Food.
It seems like it's like their spicier cousin. Yeah. Which I think is really interesting. Like, how's that stuff happen? Because is cabbage native to the Americas? The Caribbean, right?
We gotta Google it, loca.
Right.
So, we found the Haitian market, and I got all the ingredients to make it, which is cabbage and peppers, onions, carrots, vinegar.
Scotch bonnet.
Scotch bonnet peppers, cloves, and garlic, I think, are the ingredients that I need. So I'm excited to make that. I just need to find a jar. But anyway, the Japanese American food was the plan B.
Yeah.
Can I actually take this opportunity to ask a little bit about the market? Can you
sort of describe
that before? Because I love sort of supermarkets in other places, and particularly sort of what would be termed as ethnic ones. I've never been in a Haitian supermarket or. You know, it's not quite a, you know, what goes on in there? What is it like? What did it smell like?
It smelled really great. You know what it smelled like? It smelled like powder, like powdered laundry detergent.
Mm-hmm.
Mexicans use
suave.
Ariel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the cash register, that's what it smelled like. And I found it very comforting, that smell. But it was almost like a typical Mexican market that you would see in LA, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, everything was jam-packed in there. And what's super impressive about the markets here in Miami, the ethnic markets, is that there's an entire aisle of rice and beans. The entire aisle is different rice and beans. Because we went to El Presidente Market yesterday at Calle Ocho, and there was also an entire aisle of different kinds of rice and beans.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Yeah, I did a Snapchat video, and the video... like, it wasn't long enough to capture all of the rice and beans.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And there was food there. There was, like, a little deli with food already made. A lot of fresh produce.
Uh-huh.
Way more than this...
than the Publix.
This, like...
Giant chain
grocery
store. It was, like,
the
Whole Foods
of... All right, let's get into the food that we've eaten. What's been your favorite meal here in Miami so far? We'll start with Mr. Chun.
I had to say the Chef Creole.
Chef Creole?
I think. I mean, that would have been the only place we've been to twice, right? Which I think...
We're going to go tomorrow.
We're going to go tomorrow. But, like, you know, given how much different types of foods we can get here, I think the fact that Justin and I both wanted to go back to the same place instead of trying somewhere new is kind of speaks to that.
Yeah.
For now, at least. I mean, I've got another 15 days to find another one, but for now, that one.
What did you eat there?
Fried shrimp with rice and beans and sweet plantains.
And
then a watermelon drink with a weird can.
Yeah.
Perhaps
the best watermelon / soda thing that I think ever in the world.
I mean, had like this weird Asian-looking character eating this ginormous watermelon on the can. It was something.
Delicious.
Mm. Corey?
I got a few.
let me hear.
The fritas,
mm-hmm.
right? Sorry, yes, the fritas was amazing. That sort of Cuban hamburger thing that we had at the beginning,
the first day.
I dragged you guys to.
Yeah.
You know what?
Now that was a revelation to me. So I'd been to Miami many times before and had never heard of it or had it, and this time. I did a little homework before I came and saw that there was such a thing and had to have that thing.
Yeah.
Describe what is a frita?
I think it is like a beef patty with some chorizo mixed in it. Maybe some pork? I'm not sure. Fried up really rather thin with onions, both grilled and raw on it. And then like shoestring potatoes. Like dried, what would you call
it?
Like
shoestring fries.
Right, shoestring fries that are super crunchy, so they're closer to the kind that come out of the can almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On top of that, in between soft Cuban rolls. And
but a
that's
lot of the fritas.
A lot of those potatoes.
A full
it's just
fistful.
A giant pile. And that stuff is amazing.
And the price, too.
Oh, yeah, dirt cheap.
It's like $4.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they had the best sort of milkshakes there, too. So
yes.
I could just probably eat that over and over and over and over and over again until I got sick of it. I've only had it twice in the 5 weeks I've been here. So I have, because it's so far away from where we are. So that was really good. I went to my first Nicaraguan fritanga here. Mm-hmm. The food, the best thing that I had was a dessert, which was like rolled up pancakes with some sort of like butter and sugar in it. Absolutely amazing. And that was more important for me about the decor of the place, which was just insane. Like an old Western steakhouse that's been taken over by Nicaraguans who have gone around the world and collected stuff. Like, what's that Buddha doing in the corner? And what's that poster over there? And it's, you know, a lot of South Pacific totems in there. It was just odd and seemed so un-Miami to me, but probably so Miami in another way. So that was really good. And then, of course, the Haitian food was delicious, right? I really I finally got to try conch, right? So that was really good. It's more about a texture and a little flavor than anything else. So that was great. But there's still a lot here that I wanted to explore. Like, we still haven't had Argentinian or Venezuelan, since there's a ton of them here. I mean, we can avoid all the other stuff, like all the Italian and all the pizza.
Yeah.
Which seems like to be everywhere.
It's right there. It's so close.
Right there.
It's interesting, too, in Miami, how if you just walk a few blocks over, it's completely different. So we're in Morningside Park, or Morningside.
We walked 4 blocks to the Haitian place.
We walked 4 blocks and we're in Little Haiti. And there's like, it looks like a different country. Like that block that we were on with the people that had chickens and cats everywhere. It was amazing.
There's this one house with like, I think like 10 different cats all outside.
Just like guarding these chickens. It's awesome. I'm excited to keep exploring and finding different food. Definitely going to Chef Creole tomorrow. It's Corey's last full day at the residency. So we got to celebrate with some fried pork.
I have noticed that there's not a lot of green in the restaurants here.
But that could be just...
That we've been to. That
could be just the restaurants we have been going to, right?
It's not so green. A lot of fried, which is really... People seem to love as I eat fried chicken right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it always seems... But maybe that's because I live in Los Angeles and I'm always so used to like there being green shoved on everything these days.
I don't know, that Taco Supreme I had a lot of lettuce on it. That was one of my favorite moments.
That's another favorite moment when Z1 and I went to Pollo, I'm going to call it Tropical.
Yeah.
Because it is basically El Pollo Loco, but transported to the sort of Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
And it's really all about the sauces. So there was a rum pineapple salsa, which was out of this world. And they serve other things, too. Like, there was, looked interesting for fast food, whatever that is. There was a lot of pork on the menu and steak. But I was like, it's basically, El Pollo Loco transferred to a whole other sort of flavor profile. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to try that. It's so close. We're on a main kind of, I don't know, is it a highway?
I think it is a highway.
Yeah.
Slash road.
All I know is that there's a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts combination Baskin Robbins, and it just, even if I never go to it again, it's just comforting to know that it's open 24 hours and that I can go and get a coffee and a donut whatever the fuck I want.
Well, it's like also the closest chain too, right?
Yeah.
In a way, there I don't see a lot of Starbucks or floating around. There is a Burger King. I don't see a lot of Subways popping up and all these other things that I think we take for granted in other places don't really happen here.
Yeah.
Or in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about this neighborhood a little bit. It's a fucking weird neighborhood. I don't know.
Fresh coconuts.
Yes.
That's right.
Lots of fresh coconuts.
So that was also a Miami food moment for us, sort of.
Us hacking at our own coconuts.
Hacking at our own coconuts that we picked up that had fallen fresh from the tree. It's, that was kind of all new to me.
Duh. Well, I'm going to mention something because it's the second time today that somebody has said, why doesn't anybody speak English in this town? There was a girl getting an Uber on the way there, and she was pissed, and she was like, nobody speaks English. This is America. It's kind of frustrating, I guess, if you don't speak Spanish here to get around, but it's like, you're in Miami. Like, what?
What do you expect?
What do you expect?
Well, what was she?
She was some sort of European with her accent, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't tell.
That's so kind of you.
What?
Some sort of European, right? That's, I like that answer.
Instead of saying, she was white.
Right, some white girl. Like, some sort of European with an accent.
Oh, no. But yeah, I was looking at Yelp reviews, and this guy for Pinolandia, that Nicaraguan restaurant I want to go check out, and he's like, 1 star, nobody speaks English, it's the law, every business needs to speak English in America, don't they know that? 1 star.
Oh, and I'm God.
Like, holy crap, like, come on, dude.
Well, that's, I also think we have to remember where we are, too, right?
It's, yeah.
It, even though Miami is not necessarily considered the South, it's the South in some regards, and those attitudes are still here, and it's kind of a young city, too. It's, right, I think when sometime in the car doing their, it's less than, it's like the same age as LA, but they are like, well, you guys had industry, we have nothing. And it sort of shows when all of their otherness comes out like that.
Yeah. So, in closing, what do you guys, when you do a residency, let's just talk about this residency specifically. What do you hope to gain from this experience here in beautiful Miami, Florida?
Corey, you can go first.
Oh, I was going to let you go first.
You're
you
about
please
done.
Go
you're
first.
About done.
So yeah, you're done in a couple of days.
Yeah, no, I don't know what I wanted to gain. I wanted a moment to reflect, and I really thought that I was going to come and do a lot of different things. I brought all these video cameras expecting to make, like, to take all this footage. I have been thinking about a tree in Miami since 2010. I know where that tree is. I thought, oh, I'm going to have a great 5 weeks to go visit.
What kind of tree is this?
I know, what is those, banyan or whatever those things are, those banyan trees or something like that on one of those islands in the bay. I didn't even unwrap my video camera.
Here, you tell me and I'll go for it.
I didn't do any of that stuff, which, it's fine. I'm okay with that. I'll deal with it later. Right?
Yeah.
There's no rush. I got other things to worry about. But, you know, I had the best intentions, but not only the blazing humidity for some of this, and then the torrential rain sort of stopped a lot of that. It's beautiful now.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's like, we were just walking to Little Haiti, and we're like, wow, this is so nice.
So yeah, it's been a great vacation. As I think I told you, it's more of a retreat for me.
Totally.
Than a residency.
All right. Yeah.
Your turn.
I mean, coming in here, I mean, I kind of treat all residencies the same way, which is sort of like, the first 2 weeks are just lounging around, getting a sense of place, and then towards the end, like, shooting a lot based on what I've experienced. So I guess I should preface that I do a lot of video work, and so a lot of my work, I just sort of shoot video, and then I figure out what I shot later, and then put it together, and I think I described it as gathering my paint colors so that I could, you know, make the painting later. So that was my goal. So I have 2 weeks to figure that out.
Awesome.
Woohoo!
And one thing I want to mention is Corey and I have been really, we've been trying to get Z1 to get addicted to RuPaul's Drag Race like we are, and I think it's working.
Yeah, I think so too.
Any comments, Z1?
I don't know. Bye.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. If you are in the South, All right, guys. Shut up. Hold on. Let me do this.
You'll cut it out later, right?
Yeah. All right. If you are in the Miami area, feel free to hit us up. I'd love to meet you guys. If there's any listeners here, I think we have like 3. So
that's great. That's
all I would love to have lunch with you. I want to give a big shout out to our homegirl Sophia that I met. She's a listener from Atlanta, Georgia, who was visiting her parents
here
in Miami.
Awesome.
She was so cool. She went to go eat lunch with Ziwan and I. And we got haircuts together.
We got scammed together.
We got scammed into buying a $15 mojito. Shout out to Sophia. So, yeah, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter or our email, latinoswholunch@gmail.com. I'm Fabi Fav.
I'm Corey Newkirk saying goodbye.
Ziwan Chung.
Bye.
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 Wow, that was pretty fucking cool, man. Like, I was there hanging out with you guys and making art instead of being here making revisions. But I'm excited that you got to record these interviews.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't call them interviews, really. I would call them conversations, you know? But
you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. We're just going to have to go over our mission statement again. Thank you. What have you been up to? Do you want to do some recommendations for our listeners?
Yes. Actually, I have two recommendations today.
Okay, let us have it.
The first one, which we already need to talk about, that I really want people to watch this show because there's a couple of things that happen in the show that we need to deconstruct completely, is I Love Dick. You're going to love it.
You
what? You're
going
to hate it. And you're going to be discussing it with us. So I want everybody to watch the show. It's on Amazon. It's called I Love Dick. Have you watched it?
I did. I watched the whole thing. So
in what?
I don't know. If you don't know what it's about the art world. It's a very interesting and very specific show. And it's funny because in the Guilty Pleasures episode, we talked about minimalist artwork and Donald Judd and all that shit, and that's what the show is about. Well,
I feel like that's what the show is about like a weird Donald Judd character.
Yeah, Dick Jarrett, Donald Judd.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, okay.
Hello. Okay. Anyway, we can't give away too much because we want everybody to catch up on it. If you have Amazon Prime or, you know, somebody with the password, just go ahead and watch it because I hope we have a full episode before we talk about it. Okay.
Yes. And then my second recommendation comes from our friend Pam Covarrubias in Café con Pam. She started putting together this group, Support Brown Podcast, on Facebook. So any of you who are interested in starting your new podcast, or you already have a podcast, or you've been part of this podcast world for a while, the Latinx podcast world, you should join the group because we're always discussing ways into which how do we promote each other, how do we make our podcast better. And today, actually, they had a live conversation about these types of discussions, because we always are recommending podcasts and we're always talking about it, but this is a way to actually take action and all of us help each other. So again, this is our friend Pam Covarrubias for Café con Pam, and the group is called Support Brown Podcast.
And it's on Facebook. So yeah, it's a group on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, sorry about it. But we also hashtag Support Brown Podcast on like Twitter and Instagram, so you can find other things that way. My recommendations, I'm actually going to be in LA soon. So I just want to recommend that people come hang out with me. But I'm in a group show at the Peterson Automotive Museum that opens on July 1st. I have a big lowrider piñata in it. So if you guys want to check that out, that's at the Peterson Automotive Museum. The show was curated by Dr. Denise Sandoval, and it's called The High Art of Riding Low. Art about low riders. And then, come July 7th, in a couple weeks, in a week, I will be at the Palos Verdes Art Center. Or Palo Verdes Art Center? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's not good. PVAC.org. And I am in a show called Gracias, Gracias, Thank You, Thank You. And I should be there for the closing. So July 6th to the 9th, I'll be in LA for that. All right. Do you have any announcements, Pavelito?
That's it. Just just ready to come back home, man, and start doing these things como la gente normal.
I know. This, like, I'm, like, rigging all these microphones together. I don't even know what it's going to sound like. Oh, well.
That's okay. All right. But, again, consistency. We keep putting something every week, no matter what. So, that's beautiful.
We better put it. All right. And as always, you can follow us at Latinos Who Lunch on Twitter, on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Tumblr, we're on all that bullshit. And then also, if you want to send us a listener letter, you can do that at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Our website is latinoswholunch.com. And as always, you can go on iTunes, now called Apple Podcasts, I believe. And, you know, it's really important to rate your favorite podcast. So a lot of you have already rated us, but if you have a favorite podcast, go on there, leave a review, and then rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only, people.
Because the more reviews we have, the more stars we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is...
essential!
Exactamente. All right. Well, I'm Fabi Fav.
Babelito, and my meter runner is gonna expire, so I gotta go.
Bye! 'll put something together.
You sound so distracted. Are you alright?
It just sounds so bad.
So you're not feeling it?
Yeah, it's okay. I sound distracted.
Dude! Like, it sounds, like, some of them sound bad, but, like, so, like, don't worry about it.
I'm not gonna worry about it.
Yeah, you can worry about it, because this is, I mean, we even talked about taking a month off, and we didn't, and we're still putting shit out. Like, that's, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
Ándale pues.
Bye. Bye.